is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who can love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Oh, the depth of your great wisdom, oh, the vastness of your grace.
So unsearchable your secrets, far above us are your ways.
And the seraphs up in heaven, looking down with wondering eyes at your boundless love and mercy, as for us the Savior dies. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Kissed our guilty
Well, it's great to see each of you that stuck around here for this afternoon service. I know it's a little bit unusual, and you normally have an evening service, but I'm so glad that you stuck around and trust that the Lord will meet with us here even in this hour, and that you'd be encouraged, and hopefully it'll all be cleared up, and tomorrow night we can all be back here and encourage you to make that effort and maybe encourage someone else to come along with you. And just trust the Lord to work each night, and that you'd be blessed through that. I do want to just take a moment here, thankful for Pastor letting me put these out in the lobby and say a word about these. This is a men's CD that just came out. Our church, Maquoneago Baptist Church, the one that I'm from, I was born in, you know, my parents remember there before I was even born. So it's been my home church my whole life. And the Lord has worked in a special way. There's been a number of young men that have grown up in that ministry and are headed into full-time ministry or in full-time ministry. And so it's quite unique, and I think it's an encouragement that God is still working. He can still work in churches and raise up laborers in our churches. And it's just it was an honor to do this. There's a group of about 15 of us guys that we sing on a regular basis at the church, and our pastor, you know, he'd get up and preach, and he'd be like, you guys got to make a CD, you know, and so the pieces all kind of came together. My brother, who's in missionary in Kenya, was in the States at the time, and just other things that came together, and it's like, this is the time to do it right now. And so this last summer, we did the recording, and then just came out back in, I think, October. So the CDs are in the back. They're $15 a piece, or you can buy two for $25. Encourage you, if you're interested in good, godly music. You know, there's a lot of Christian music out there, but it's hard to find good Christian music and good quality Christian music, you know, the two combined. So I really think this is good, and it's good quality. and I trust and be encouragement to you. And the message, I think the 15 guys are all, almost all of them are called to preach. There's a few of them that are just faithful there in the church and serve however they can, but trust that the Spirit will come through in the singing and be encouraged. A lot of just the good old hymns that you would recognize with a piano accompaniment. So encourage you, if you are looking for good music, stop by sometime this week and pick one of those up. I know it'll be a blessing to you. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3. And we'll start here in Revelation chapter 3. And want to deal with a subject that might be pertinent not only to right now in this afternoon service with the matter of not falling asleep. That's just a joke. But in our day and age, there is a great sleepiness that is crossing our country and in our churches. And the term I use is fervency, and there's a lot of apathy in our churches. And I think we can see some of this here in Revelation chapter 3. We'll just begin by reading this passage in Revelation 3 about the Laodicean church. And then we will look at this matter of being fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. A great need for fervency in our day and age. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. As I travel in churches and across the country and just get a sense of where things are at in our nation amongst Christian churches, I think the verses we just read there epitomize a lot of the churches in our land and a lot of the Christians in our land. They say that they are rich and increased with goods, and that truly is the reality. We live in a very prosperous nation. We have so much to be thankful for. And even in a spiritual sense, there is so much that we're rich in a sense. But God knows each church. He knows each person. He knows their true condition of the heart and whether there is that lukewarm spirit, that apathetic heart that is complacent. And I believe, you know, if I were to describe a lot of the churches, there's this attitude of complacency, of not being purposeful in their pursuit of the Lord. There's this kind of this coldness that has settled in and just kind of settled in across the churches of our land. And the question is are we going to allow that to be the case here? Are you going to allow your church here to be a church that is complacent and just kind of content to sit on the sidelines? Or is this going to be a church that is filled with people who are fervent in spirit? And that's what I really want to go after today. Are you someone who is fervent in spirit? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We see this phrase, fervent in spirit, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 11. It's a simple verse, but it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's a lot of work to be done. God has a great, as we looked this morning, God has a plan. There's a lot of work to be done, and it requires fervency. Where does fervency come from? It comes from that innermost part of a person. That's, you know, it drives them. It gives them passion and zeal. And the reality is, it's hard to find someone who isn't zealous or passionate about something. You know, they might not be passionate about what you're passionate about, but just about everyone is passionate or zealous about something. It could be politics. You know, you just say the word, and boy, man, they got all sorts of opinions and ideas and all sorts of things. It could be sports. You know, you say something, and they're just fervent and zealous about it. But that's the way it ought to be about the things of the Lord. Not just, you know, talking about it, but doing it. And what the Lord has called us to do. And so as we I think it's appropriate here as we begin a new year, as we look at this year in front of us. Are we going to let this year be described as a year of complacency, just kind of being rocked to sleep and comfortable? Or are we going to be, is this year going to be marked by fervent in spirit? And every individual is going to decide that for themselves. And friends, there is a great need to be fervent in spirit. And we're going to look at a few things in just a moment of how we ought to be fervent in spirit, areas that we see in the scripture where that require fervency in our own personal lives. But before we do that, I want to look at the increase and decrease of fervency. How does one increase their fervency? How does one's fervency decrease for the Lord? We're commanded to be fervent in spirit, passionate about the business and the work of the Lord. How does one lose that, and how does one increase it? So first of all, notice with me the decrease of fervency. How does a Christian who is maybe excited about the things of the Lord and passionate, how do they get to a place where they're then complacent and they've lost the fervency that they once had for the things of the Lord? How does that take place? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to see one way that we can lose our fervency. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to be looking at verse number 12. Now, before I read verse 12, I want to give a little bit of the context of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, you have the disciples coming to Jesus and asking him, how do we know when the end is? Are there going to be signs of your coming? What are the specific signs? And the disciples were always interested in those kind of future things. And Jesus lists out to them some things that they can be certain that they will see. Now, I mention this because we live in a day and age where I think Christians can get, one of the reasons they can get, lose their fervency is because they look around and they, you know, they see this nation is you know, wants to go to war with this nation, and then, you know, there's this pandemic and sickness going around, and people can lose their fervency because of circumstances going around in the world. And I find it really encouraging in this passage. Jesus tells them, he's like verse 7 or verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I was having a conversation with a man over text, and he is an unsaved man. And he was telling me one of his greatest fears is that this world is just going to kind of blow up and everyone's going to die. That, you know, whether it's some kind of nuclear reactor or whatever. And I texted him, I said, we know exactly, not exactly, but we know how it's going to end. And I showed him that in Matthew 24, Jesus tells us that there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilences. I find that really interesting, especially in the time in which he lived. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, they're the birthing pains. All right, Jesus is saying, look, I'm coming. And some of the indicators that show that I'm coming is that there's going to be these wars and rumors of wars, but that's not the end. That's the beginning of sorrows. You know, as a woman is getting ready to give birth, she goes into labor, and those birthing pains get increase, and they become more and more, become stronger and stronger the closer to the birth. All right, and that's kind of what the picture here is. These beginning of sorrows are going to take place, and so as Christians, we shouldn't just bury our head and become discouraged and think to ourselves, you know, well, what's the point? I mean, Jesus is just about to return. The reality is, his disciples. He was saying this to his disciples 2,000 years ago. Look, you're going to see wars and rumors of wars. And now there's an argument to be made that there's been an increase over the decades and centuries of wars, and especially now today, there's definitely a lot of things happening, but don't be troubled, he says. I think Christians can sit in their pew and sit in their seat at home and watch the news, and they're being like, you know, they're nervous and they're afraid and they're discouraged, and they think we're just going to kind of hunker down until Jesus comes. But he says, don't be troubled. this isn't the end. Where he goes here, and I'm not going to take time right now, but the ultimate thing he goes to is he's talking about a big term called the abomination of desolations. And he was referring to back in Daniel, very definite act where the Antichrist will offer a sacrifice in the temple, which means there has to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. And that hasn't started yet. So, you know, we shouldn't be discouraged and thinking, oh man, the end is just around the corner. I mean, Jesus could come back at any point, don't get me wrong. But his disciples, he was saying this to his disciples. Hey, there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars. It could be another 1,000 years before Jesus returns. Don't become complacent and lose fervency to do the work of the Lord because of the circumstances going around us in the world. So that would be one reason, that one way that people lose fervency is through the circumstances and having really their perspective on the things of this world. The second thing, a way that people can lose fervency, is right in verse number 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Does iniquity abound in our land? Absolutely. And that, he says, is one reason why Christians will wax cold or lose fervency. The idea there of waxing cold is, this is really something I understand. You know, with some young children, you get hot food, you serve it to them, and they won't eat it unless it's the right temperature. So you have to blow on it, right? One of my boys will go, he'll hold it up and want you to blow on it to cool it down. That's the idea of waxing cold, this blowing on it to lose its heat and fervency. And friends, that is what takes place in a Christian's life. That's one reason they lose fervency, is because the world and the iniquity that abounds, the wickedness that's all around us, just blows on them and cools them down. And they lose their fervency for the Lord. This is exactly what happened with Lot. Remember Lot? He was in the midst of Sodom. Now, he made many steps that led to him being right there in the city. But the iniquity that abounded in Sodom vexed his righteous soul. And he lost his heart and fervency for the Lord. And friends, if you're a Christian and you're alive physically, then you sense the oppression, you sense the weight and just the draw and that blowing effect that this world has on us in cooling us down. And we need to take note this afternoon that the iniquity that abounds around us has a deadening effect to us. And sometimes we can just think to ourselves, well, I'm not involved in it. It's not going to bother me. But the reality is, it does have effect on us. As we see it and are aware of the wickedness going around in this world, it can have a deadening effect on our soul. And we need to be on our guard as Christians. We need to recognize, wait, maybe I shouldn't go to that place. Maybe I shouldn't be involved in that activity because of what it exposes me to. Maybe it's going to have a deadening effect on my soul just being in that atmosphere and seeing the things going on around us. And I think this is more... there's just a lot of application, I think, even just as Christians, as with media and social media. You know, that's one of the reasons I'm not a huge fan of social media. I don't think it's a sin, but I'm just not a big fan because, you know, people just post all their iniquity on it. And you're friends with this person, so you have to see what they're doing. And, you know, you just kind of get exposed to it and desensitized. And I think we have to be on our guard and recognize, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That iniquity has a cooling, blowing effect on us. And I think can cause us to lose our fervency for the Lord. So, the decrease of fervency. Do you sense it in your own soul? Do you see it taking place in your own soul? I just want to read briefly a quote by Charles Spurgeon, that I think speaks to this very effectively. If the heart grows cold, everything will be coldly done. When love declines, what cold preaching we have. all moonlight light without heat, polished like marble and as chill. What cold singing we get, pretty music made by pipes and wind, but oh, how little soul song. How little singing in the Holy Ghost, making melody in the heart unto God. And what poor praying, do you call it praying? What little giving when the heart is cold, the hands can find nothing in the purse. And Christ's church, Christ poor, and the heathen may perish, for we must needs hoard up for ourselves and live to grow rich. Is there anything that goes on as it ought to go when love waxes cold? Friend, our love for the Lord is a big deal, and we've got to guard it. We have to pay close attention that you maintain that love for the Lord and that fervency, because it is sure, just like we're bound to the law of gravity is going to pull us down, so that fervency and love for the Lord is going to just naturally wax cold and cold. We have to purposely make sure that it stays hot, that our fervency and love for the Lord stays kindled, and that will keep us going for the Lord. The decrease of fervency, we've just noticed a few reasons how we can decrease in our fervency, but notice also the increase of fervency. How does one increase their fervency for the Lord? Well, obviously, some of the things we just talk about, spin that around and apply it in a positive way. But also, here's a couple things to think about. We need to attach ourselves to the cause. We need to attach ourselves to the cause. Think about that. You know, most people are fervent about something, as I already said. And if we lost our fervency for the Lord, it means we've become detached to the cause of Christ. And we need to reattach ourselves to the cause of Christ and say, you know what, this is the purpose of my life. This is what my life is about. And a purpose and for the things of the Lord, and that will increase our fervency. Turn back to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I want to read verse number 18 through 20. And as we think of the fact that, you know, here's the Laodicean church, the one church out of all these churches that he didn't say anything positive about, I think in many respects this spirit and this the description of this church depicts a lot of the churches in our day. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can have a church that is vibrant and serving the Lord and that the Lord looks at and is says positive things about. But notice what he says to the church at Laodicea in verse number 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. The increase of fervency comes as we get back into our fellowship with the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus was saying to the church, open the door and I'll come in and sup with you. I'll come in and fellowship with you. And friends, each one of us, you know, the Lord doesn't force us into that relationship. He's standing there waiting for us to open the door. And that increase of fervency comes as we first of all recognize our condition. He was telling them, look, you don't even recognize your condition. You're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, but you don't recognize that. And so we need to ask God, open my eyes. Help me to see my true spiritual condition. Help me to see the condition of this church. And then follow his plan of increasing that fervency and getting back into that relationship with the Lord. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Take it seriously. If we've lost that fervency for the Lord and we want to increase that fervency, then there needs to be a sense of seriousness and sobriety that comes across our minds and hearts. And seek the Lord. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And open the door. Let the Lord back into your heart. So the increase of fervency comes as we attach ourselves to the cause and as we follow God's plan in increasing that fervency, opening the door back up to Him, seeing our true spiritual condition. Do you sense today, where's your fervency at for the Lord? You know, the fervency in a person is really just an indicator of their heart. It's like that dashboard when a light pops on, the engine light pops on or something. It's an indicator saying, hey, something's wrong. And if you don't have that fervency for the Lord, maybe it's waxed cold. It's become more and more cold. If that's you, that's an indicator. We should take that as a warning sign saying, hey, something's wrong. Our fervency is an indicator of where our heart is. So the increase and the decrease of fervency, we've noticed that this afternoon. And secondly, I want us to notice the areas of fervency in our lives that we need to pay close attention to. And these are pulled straight from Scripture. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And verse number 24. Acts chapter 18, verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, we won't dissect this whole passage, but the main gist is that here's a man, Apollos. He knew the truth to a certain degree. And when he was confronted with more truth, he received the truth and began proclaiming that truth. And here I see a fervency in spirit regarding the truth. He was passionate about the truth. You get the sense as you read this that he was really serious about the truth. He was serious about what he was preaching. He was diligent about it. And friends, we need in our day a fervency about the truth. A seriousness about it. Where, we've come to this, period in our history where it's kind of your truth and my truth and your truth and everyone has their truth. Have you heard that phrase before? That's their truth. That's not the way it goes. We have the truth right here. And friends, we need to be passionate about the truth. We should be concerned when we have friends or other people that are going down a pathway that isn't the truth. It should concern us. And as a church, we ought to be passionate about the truth, fervent about the truth. And as God brings more truth into our light, brings it to light in our life, accept the truth, embrace the truth, and then give the truth to other people. In Proverbs, the Word of God says, buy the truth and sell it not. It's valuable. Can you think of anything more valuable than than the truth? And yet we take it so flippantly. The truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. So we need to be fervent in spirit regarding the truth. We also need to be fervent in spirit regarding our service for the Lord. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and this verse number 11. We read it already. Romans chapter 12, verse number 11. Be fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Friends, there's a lot to do for the Lord. There's not a lack of work and laboring for the Lord. And we need to be fervent in our spirit regarding this matter of serving the Lord. Boy, I love being around people that are passionate about the work of the Lord. It kind of rubs off on you. There's some missionaries that we've had at our church, and anytime they come, boy, I walk out of there thinking to myself, I want to go work with them. I want to, because God's working, they're excited and they're fervent in spirit regarding the work that the Lord has called them to do. What has the Lord called you to do, and are you fervent in spirit regarding that? Or are you slothful in business? You know, just kind of, well, the Lord has me to do this. But look, any laboring that the Lord has for us to do, we need to be fervent in spirit and take that very seriously. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the very end of this passage, the resurrection passage, Paul closes the passage with a familiar verse, but a very important verse. It says, therefore, in other words, the culmination of this great passage, this great truth, the resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection is real. It took place. And Paul was saying, look, because of that great truth, you can labor for the Lord because, first of all, you know he's God and laboring for him, we ought to do. But we know that one day we're going to be resurrected and we're going to be with him. And so he's saying, after all this truth, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable. You know, the idea of steadfast is focused, fervent in the work of the Lord. Does that describe you, friend? Have you kind of become just complacent and, yeah, you know, I'll do it when it's convenient. I'll serve the Lord. Or is there a fervency, a passion? You know, whatever it is that we're involved in for the work of the Lord, we want to accomplish it. We want to go forward. And it sounds to me like there's some opportunities coming up this year in this church to be fervent in spirit regarding the service of the Lord. May that be the case. It might be just a matter of cleaning the church. Maybe you have a job of cleaning the church, helping out with that. Whatever it might be fervent in spirit. Focus. You know, fervent people are focused people. This isn't just true in the spiritual realm. You know, if you talk to someone who's in business or, you know, in sports or whatever, and they're real focused, they're also very fervent. You know, I think of, I'm from the Milwaukee area, and we have Milwaukee Bucks, a basketball team. And there's a player on there named Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's from Greece. And let me tell you what, he's probably one of the most fervent basketball players. I mean, he is so focused. You know, there's been stories of, you know, he'll play a full game, and when he's on the court, he's giving it all, 110%, as you'd say. He gives it all. He's very fervent. But you know what? When the game's over and he feels like he didn't do a great job, you know what he does? He goes back to the basketball court and he works on his free throws. He works on whatever shot it is that he needs to work on. You know, he came to a point in his life, he said, you know what, I've given up fast food. No fast food because it doesn't help me be a better basketball player. He's fervent and he's focused. And, you know, think about, you know, you could mention a number of different business leaders in this world. You know, they have a drive and a focus, and that focus produces fervency. And as Christians, we need to be laser focused on the work and the service of the Lord, and that focus produces fervency. So we need to be fervent in our service for the Lord. A zeal ought to consume us with the things of God. Remember it was said of Christ that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He was passionate about it. You don't make his house a den of thieves. He was passionate about it. And we ought to have the same kind of zeal for the things of the Lord. In Titus chapter 2, why don't you turn there quick? Titus chapter 2, we see that we've been saved for one of the reasons that we've been saved is to be zealous in doing good works. Titus chapter 2. I can find it. Here we go. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. Who gave himself for us, that's Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. All right, so we need to be zealous in our service for the Lord, zealous in the way we live, because this lost world is watching us. You know, this lost world, our neighbors and our coworkers, they're watching us. And if we aren't really concerned about the things of the Lord and aren't really passionate about the work of the Lord, they're going to pick up on it. And they're going to realize, you know what, it's just kind of going through the motions for them. And they're not going to be too drawn to it. So friends, we need to be zealous in our service and our fervent in our good works for the Lord. And I realize it's not us just being, I'm going to be good, I'm going to do good things so my neighbors see it. That's not what we're talking about. We're being so talking about being so focused on our work for the Lord and how we live that we let the Lord work in and through us, and it produces these good works that ultimately glorify God. We need to be zealous in our service for the Lord. Another area of fervency, just two more areas that I want to mention will be done. But another area that we are to be fervent, according to the scriptures, is in our prayer. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Fervency in prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Now here's a very familiar verse for us. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer. We are to be fervent in our prayers. Friends, how's your prayer life? Is it described by fervency? Or is it described more by, when there's a need, I'll pray for it? We need fervency in our prayer. Where does fervency come? Fervency comes from deep within a person as they are focused and concerned about something. Our fervency in prayer depends on our concern for the subject of our prayers. If we don't have much concern for the things we're praying for, there isn't going to be much fervency, right? Good example of that is in 1 Samuel 1, you have Hannah praying. Remember that story? She's praying for a child. And the priest thought she was drunk because she was just so overwhelmed with the matter of her prayer, the subject of her prayer. And it was produced a fervency. And the reason we don't have a lot of fervency in our prayer is because we don't have great concern about the subjects of our prayers. You know, isn't it true when there is a great need in our lives that all of a sudden we get really serious about our prayers? Maybe it's a child or a family member that's all of a sudden sick, and boy, man, we are fervent about our prayers, right? What if we were fervent all the time in our prayers? And we should be, because there's plenty to be fervent about. I mean, you look at the state of our nation, there's great need for prayer in our nation. You know, you look at the community around us, there's great needs in our community, and ought to cause us to be fervent, but we're not fervent because, you know, it's not too close to our heart. Let me tell you what, that all changes as we get our eyes focused on the Lord. As we draw near to Him, His heart becomes our heart. And we see the lost people and we become concerned about the lost people and we become fervent in our prayers for them. Are you fervent, desperate in your prayer? I recently heard of a church that was challenged to pray three times a day in a specific way for God's presence to be known in their church and in their community. And so that church, they were challenged to take 30 days, pray morning, right when you get out of bed at around midday, and then just before you go to bed, just a simple prayer. Lord, would you work in our church and our community that your presence would be known? And within just a matter of a week, couple weeks, God started to do incredible things. People from the community, uninvited, coming in and getting saved. And incredible answers to prayer. And I believe if a church got fervent and said, you know, we're praying for God's moving in our midst, He'd start doing stuff. But it begins with fervency comes out of a heart of concern and a heart that is deeply overwhelmed by some truth or aspect. And so we need to be fervent in our prayers. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 11, the great story of the prayer of the importunate neighbor, the neighbor that came at midnight. Remember the story? They came knocking on the door, and the neighbors wouldn't get out of bed, but because he kept knocking, there was desperation there. There was fervency. I need bread. I need bread. I need bread. I need it right now. The neighbor got up and gave him bread. Friends, that's a beautiful picture of our prayers, a fervent prayer. If we come to the Lord with bold, shameless asking, we'd see God move. We'd see God work in ways that we never would have imagined. And so, friends, it all goes to say we need bold, we need that fervency in our prayers. And again, that comes out of a deep heart and compassion for the subject of our prayers. We need God to, not just in great times of actual need in our lives, we need to see the needs all around us so that we pray fervently all the time. And we can see much accomplished in our life. The fourth and final area that I want us to notice, a need for fervency, is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And obviously we need fervency in many other areas and just in general. But these are a few areas specifically mentioned in Scripture where there needs to be fervency in our lives. And just a general attitude of apathy, I believe, it has settled in across so many churches. And there needs to be a rekindling of our fervency and love for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7 and verse number 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, I'm just blown away when you study the matter of charity, like in 1 Corinthians 13, how important that issue is in our lives. You know, back in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about, you know, if you have the gift of prophecy and you have the gift of tongues and you have the gift to move mountains, but if you don't have charity, you're nothing. I've been blown away with that myself. Because how many times do we think of our, you know, think of we think, you know, we want to have great faith and we want to be used of God. But what about charity? That self-sacrificing love. And I'm just always blown away by how important charity is in the Scripture. Here in verse 7 and 8, above all things, have fervent charity. What is charity? Again, it's that self-sacrificing love. Have fervent charity. That charity, that zeal, it makes it the priority of our lives. You know, I think of a marriage, that first love is very, it's very passionate, and it's just the purest. And that's the idea here, that fervent charity, that pure love for one another. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't assume motives. It doesn't look for a return. It's a self-sacrificing. Even if I never get anything in return, I want to give and love. And he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Do you think in our churches nowadays we need that fervent charity? I think so. How quickly we can become upset. How quickly we can get irritated at another person in the church. And maybe even think about leaving the church because of some issue. And yet if we had fervent charity, we'd say, you know what? Forget that. I can put that aside. Maybe there's someone here and there's an issue that's kind of a burr that's under your saddle, you might say. And you kind of get worked up about something, and you know what you need? You need fervent charity that says, you know what? It's really not that important. I'm going to forget about it and keep serving the Lord. Above all things, have fervent charity. Friends, would others say of you they are fervent in spirit? They're fervent in prayer. They're fervent in their service for the Lord. They're fervent in their pursuit of truth. They're fervent in their charity and love for the brethren, love for other people, love for this lost world. Would that be said of you? May the Lord help us today have this fervency in our spirit rekindled, refocused. And again, it goes back to our heart. Fervency is an indicator of where our hearts are. If we have churches that are just kind of complacent and apathetic, it goes back to the heart. Ask the Lord to show you today where your heart is. Has it waxed cold through the iniquity that is all around us? Or are you fervent in spirit serving the Lord? Let's pray.